Hey, come on, give the creative team a hand as they take a seat. And we've been in our church. You may be seated. Go ahead. In our church, we might hold this off until, not yet. Thank you, Rachel. In a moment, in our church, we've been doing a series called The Armor of God. And it hasn't just been contained to down here. They've been doing a series on the armor of God upstairs, up in the upper room up there with our kids. And so this morning, we have an amazing item. And so I'm going to invite the kids to come up on stage. They've got a special presentation on what they have been learning upstairs. So give them a hand as they come. Here they come. There's some yelling and screaming. Some excitement.
Hi, everyone. The kids have been learning a memory verse. We actually want to teach you guys it, but first we're just going to get them to say it to you first. So listen very carefully, because you're going to be doing it too. Okay, ready, kids? Remember, starts with Ephesians. 1, 2, 3, 4. Very good. Can I get a hand for the kids, please? Okay. As you can appreciate, to teach the kids a memory verse, it's not so easy. So we've got to come up with innovative ways to try and teach them. So we're going to teach you guys. Yeah, kids? Is that okay? Okay. Can we get a little bit of a beat, Jack? Tash, come on this side.
Strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. Everybody say, whoa.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Let me just try that one more time. Jesus is our Savior. Maybe we should do the sermon that way. What do you think? Come on. Get on down. Isn't that good? Bit of fun upstairs, but they learn. They learn life through the Word of God. So we're into Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. Let me just pause for a moment. I was going to give a friend a hug, just a quick hug. I could just tell he was needing a hug. Not saying anything, Rach. If you don't know that, that's about someone goes for Manly. Sorry, Jack. I didn't set that up. But the armor of God. So we've been doing a series on the armor of God, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And everybody said, let me just pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its wisdom and its life. God, we thank you that you are the word, Christ. And we thank you that it never returns void. Whether it's learned by us when we are children, as we've just seen, or here today as we go through it. God, we just thank you that your word brings such clarity to our lives. It's got the power to unravel us from the things that would try and hold us back, or the things that would try and trap our lives. God, we thank you that your word is powerful and it's strong. We pray that you, Holy Spirit, would just release it into our lives in your mighty word. Everybody said, amen. So we've been going through this series, and of course, we've talked a bit about the first part of Ephesians 6, talking about the power of his might, the power that we get for our lives comes from God. We understand that. And we've moved on. We start to look at the armor. We start to look at the belt of truth and how we need to put truth on and tuck our lives into the truth of God. Anything that's hanging out, our thought life, anything that you think that is wisdom for your life, I encourage you to tuck it into truth, to see whether or not it fits into the truth of God's word. There's some great things out there and great sayings and great ways to live your life. But realistically, we are believers. And if it doesn't measure up or add up to the truth, if it can't be tucked into the truth of God, then it's a lie. Amen? No matter how good it sounds, or how amazing it is, or how many times you hear it in a TV show, or whether or not your favorite TV personality lives this way, if it's not truth, friend, it's gonna cause your life some pain. We need to know that the truth of God can do amazing things in our life. And we go on, and we talked about the next part. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, how that protects our heart and our love for God and our motivation to serve him and to live for him. And then we went on further and we looked at the next part of the armor of God, and which I believe, it was the last time we talked about. We talked about that our feet are shod with the preparation of peace, that we need to have this peace with God. Amen? The peace of God is amazing. And I shared last time we spoke that one of the greatest cries of the heart of any human being, I'm going to have to compete with that noise. One of the greatest competitions, one of the greatest competitions. It's already messing with my mind. One of the greatest sayings that people say is that they want to have their or make their peace with God. Amen? And we have that ability. You carry with you the revelation in the knowledge that you have made your peace with God. Through his gospel, through your acceptance of him, you have peace with God. There is a whole world out there that's at war with themselves. They're at war with God, really, because they have not accepted Christ and they haven't made peace with God. And that message of making peace with God is a message of the gospel that we need to get out and share with those people around us. And you know what? If you go to a party or you connect with someone or you're connecting with someone that doesn't know God, it doesn't take long before you get to that conversation about them and it comes around the idea that in their hearts they're wrestling with their eternity, they're wrestling with their relationship with God, and they don't have peace about their relationship with God. They might have all sorts of questions. They might have even some thoughts in their head about how eternity will work. But I find generally when someone has not accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they have this discontent in their spirit because they have not made their peace with God. Amen? And that is that opportunity that we have as believers to share that and to bring that message, which is good news, to those that don't know it. And the next area that we're going to focus on today is the shield of faith. So let me just get our machine up and running. There it is, Ephesians 6, verse 16. That's where we're up to. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So let me just give you some idea of how this works. There it is. There's a shield. Looks small, but let's give you some idea of what, in the Bible, what they were talking about. This is the shield that they were referring to in the Word of God. The Roman shield was not a standard medieval. Most shields of those days were round. That's what armies used. But the Roman soldiers had something very different. Their shield was quite revolutionary, and it was quite different to everything else that was out there. It was very large, slightly curved. It was rectangular. And in the center of it, there was a large metal knob you can see. And that was called the boss. Maybe that's where we get the idea, the boss from. I don't know. But in the center of that shield, that's what they called it. It was like a brass, and it jutted out, and it came to a point, and they called that the boss. And this shield was impressive. It wasn't small because of its sheer size. Some of them were 3.5 feet tall and almost 3 feet wide. So a normal shield was like round and small, and that's what their opponents came up against. But this shield was quite big, and it was curved, and it was quite formidable. And the Romans used it very, very effectively. It was made out of laminated wood and lined with leather. And it had a brass or bronze layer covered each edge to protect it against sword attacks. So basically the average soldier had a lot of protection behind it. They would stand behind it. The Romans fought in formation, so they used the shield effectively. And it was slightly curved, simply because when anyone fired an arrow, because of it being curved, the arrow wouldn't just pierce it and stay in it. It would deflect off it. It would take some of that hit off it. If someone threw a spear at their shield, it would just slide off it. So it wouldn't take the full force of that spear or that arrow. Do you understand how that works? Bit of technology, where a lot of shields were flat. So when a spear was thrown, it would dig into it, or the person would go back like this. With the Roman shield, when they threw a spear, it would just go like this and off to the side. So there was a bit of technique in it. It was quite well designed, and they knew what they were doing. And that thing they call the boss, that thing in the center jutted out, and they used to use it to push people back. And so in those days, there was a lot of fierce hand-to-hand combat. It wasn't shooting guns or anything. They would line up next to each other, and the Romans would just march like this with their shields and their spears, and they would have archers behind them. And they would use that centerpiece. They would get that into a person's face or onto their chest and push them back and put them off balance. So quite a huge piece of their warfare. So God was looking at this shield, and he was relating it to our faith. Amen? Why would God use a shield like this to relate to something like our faith? Ephesians 6, verse 16. Above all, it says, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, every other piece of armor that we've talked about so far, we've put on. You wear them. You wear your breastplate, you wear your belt, you wear your shoes, right? But when it comes to the shield of faith, what he's actually asking us to do is to take it up, to grab it, take it up. It's not something that you can assume you've got on all the time. Are you with me? It's not something that you can assume you've put on and it's just there. It's something that you've got to take up. It's something that you've got to use, and it starts with that first, above all, taking the shield of faith. Because we're talking about armor here. We're talking about how God protects our lives. And the Word of God says, above all, take up the shield. It's important for us to realize that our faith is something that we need to grab a hold of and take up. Like, you've got faith. It's not something that we just wear. It's something that we've actually got to grab a hold of and use. Are you hearing me? There's so many believers who just think, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian now. I'm just wearing my faith. My faith is here. Well, it's not kind of like that, because when you come up against things, that's when you realize whether you're holding your faith or not, right? You it took faith for you to become a believer. Granted that. But the rest of your life is about you using that faith and taking up that faith and holding that faith and using it constantly in your life to bring protection to your life. You can't just assume, wow, I'm a fantastic believer. You know, when you're sailing through life and everything's good, and everything's going well, but when you come up against something that you never accounted for, or something that really maybe you didn't deserve, or something just out of left field, that's when really you've got to look around and just realize, hey, I need my faith. I need to grab a hold of my faith. I need to lift it up right now. I need to use it in this circumstance. Are you with me? So we're going to look at faith for just a moment, just a quick definition of what it is. So Hebrews 11 verse 1. Have a quick look at that. And it says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is a biblical definition of faith. So faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Then this has major implications for our life. See, substance is tangible, right? If I said to you, this pulpit is substance, you can grab it, you can feel it. It's something that you can, there's evidence, there's proof that this exists because we can hold it and we can see it. See, faith, by definition, is not some emotion or some crazy idea in your head or some random thought. It's actually tangible truth. Are you hearing me? So a lot of people think, well, you know, I've got a lot of faith operating in my life. I've got a lot of faith. I've got faith for God to work in my finances, to work in my body for healing, to work in every area of my life and my relationships. But, you know, there's a difference between having hope for that and having something tangible. Are you with me? See, a lot of people just think faith is something that, you know, whatever's out there in the Word of God, I'm just gonna hope that works. God's actually asking us to do a bit more than that with faith. Faith takes a lot more work than that. Are you with me? To actually believe that there is a part of God's Word that becomes reality and truth that you can literally hold on to with your own heart and your whole own life, and you can wrap your life around that concept of truth, takes a lot of work. I actually don't have faith for everything that God promises me in the Word of God. Are you with me? I hope that it all works. Are you with me? But if I was honest, not everything that God says in His Word do I personally have faith to see happen in my life right now. Do I want to see it? Yes. But do I have it? Well, no, because sometimes it's just not that easy. Are you with me? I'm not saying that I don't have faith in God and what he can do, but I tell you what, it takes a lot more work to see something come to life from the Word of God. I can believe for miraculous healing in my body, but I tell you what, sometimes I've got to go back to the Word of God 30 times and get a revelation of it and really get a hold of God and get a real sense of what God's doing with that before I can really, really understand it and say, I've got faith for that. Some people go, oh yeah, God can heal me, that's it. But it takes more than that, don't you think? I'm trying to be honest with you here because, you know, I think sometimes that we just think anything that's out there, we've got faith for, but the Word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So God is saying faith is more than just you hoping that every promise in the Word of God is going to work out for you. He's saying it takes a bit more than that. Are you with me? And this is what I believe. I believe sometimes when you come up against a trial, then the best thing you can do is to search the Word of God and ask God to give you a revelation, to really believe, to see that area of your life unlock. If you are right now standing in a financial need and you need to go to the Word of God and you need to get a revelation of God's provision for your life. You need to get a hold of His Word, and that Word needs to be substance in your spirit. That Word needs to be something that you believe over and above everything else. Amen? I mean, so whenever you stand against everything that comes into your life that's denying the promises of God for your provision, that you can actually stand in your spirit and just say, you know what? I've got a revelation of this. I've got this. I understand, God, that I've got faith for this area. And you know what? It takes a bit of work to do that. Are you with me? And I think sometimes that's where we get a little bit messed up, because we just don't want to put the effort in to really get a hold of a revelation of what God's doing in our lives. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes you really don't know that you need to put some effort in until something comes along that takes away your security in that area. Are you with me? So this is what it is. It takes Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Don't go quiet on me. Are you still with me? For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We want to see something become evident in our lives. So faith is based on solid evidence. We've got to get solid evidence in our lives and our hearts through the Word of God. We've got to get a revelation of that. So why is the shield associated with our faith? Why did they use the shield to relate to our faith? Well, a shield guards and it protects us physically, correct? So faith can protect us spiritually. Even in the middle of whatever trial you're going through, your faith can protect you. Our faith is our greatest form of protection. I love this. In Psalms chapter 3, verse 2, it says, many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God, Selah. But you, O Jehovah, are a shield around me. You are my glory and he who lifts up my head. See, God wants to be a shield. Our faith is like a shield of protection around us. It's like your first line of defense. The enemy's going to try and get a hold of you. If other thoughts, anything's going to come up against you, the first thing it has to get through is your faith, right? See, the craziest thing is we've got all this other armor. We've got the helmet of salvation. We've got the breastplate. We've got all these other bits of armor. But realistically, it's the shield of faith that protects us out front. If something gets through that, then you've got your helmet. And then you've got your breastplate. Are you with me? What God is kind of saying is your faith should be the thing that protects you from everything. I mean, you don't see too many people going into battle with their heads, helmets forward and just sort of charging like this. You know, it's kind of stupid. Or just the chest out. You know, they're not going to do that. They come into battle with their shields. So if your shield gets, if your faith goes, then the second line of defense is your breastplate and your helmet. Are you hearing me? God wants us to know how to use our shield, to lift it up and to use it to come against the enemy. He's basically saying this is the number one thing you should use. If you want protection, that's it. That's why he says, above all, take up the shield. He said, he's saying, look, baby, if you know how to use this shield, you don't have to use your helmet. You don't have to use your breastplate. Those things will just be covered by the shield. If you as a people understand that faith is that important to what we do and how we live, it's going to be brilliant for you. Faith is knowing that God is capable of delivering us from whatever we face. We don't know if he will or not, but that doesn't matter. We don't know how he's going to do it and when he's going to do it, but we believe that he can. Are you with me? It's a big understanding to know this. The two biggest things that tells us that we have let our faith go and we're not holding on to it or putting it up or using it. I'm going to give you the two biggest things that I know of. Two biggest things that I've noticed in people's life when their faith that God has given them, where it's just, they've just let it go, they've dropped it. You know, they're doing their Christianity, maybe with their breastplate on and their helmet on, but they've kind of put their faith to the side. The first one is when we stop believing that God is in control. I know there's people in this room. Right now, your biggest battle is with worry, doubt, anxiety, all those areas, and they're all related down. Is God in control? Man, I'm standing in something right now. Is God really in control? This is happening to me right now. This is my world. I don't know. I don't know if I can believe that right now that God is in control. I don't know if I've got the faith to believe that. Amen? If you really can't answer that, if it's a massive battle for you and you really come to a conclusion where you're like, no, I don't think he is. He can't be. The situation's too overwhelming for me. This situation is just too hard for me to believe that God is in control, then I can tell you that's my first indication that maybe your shield's kind of on the ground down here. Are you hearing me? But I'm not talking about how he's going to rescue you and when it's going to happen. I'm not talking about the detail of it. I'm asking you that number one question. Do you believe that God is in control, or is something else? Is there something else in control? Is there something else that's just, I guess, bigger than God? Because, you know, our faith is based on that fact and that reality. We've got to pick up that faith, and we've got to hold that shield, and we've got to hold it firm and go, okay, man, there's so much pressure against me right now. There is so much, I feel overwhelmed. But I know that I know that I know that God is in control. I don't understand right now. I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't know why I'm in the midst of this, but God is in control. Are you with me? Second thing, I think, if you want to know whether or not your shield is on the ground or whether you're holding it, is when we stop believing that he is working everything out for our good. He doesn't promise you won't have trials. He doesn't promise you that there won't be times where the wind comes and the rain comes and beats against your house, your life. He doesn't promise you won't have that. What he does promise you is that if you believe in him and give it to him, he will turn it around and use it for good. Amen. And I think, that, to me, honestly, if you bring your faith back to that, whether or not you, whatever you're standing in, it relates to any circumstance that you are standing in right now, you're just going to go, can God use this for his good? I know there are people in here who have lost jobs. I know there's health situations. I know there's finance. I know there's all sorts of things. Can God use right now the circumstance? Can he use it for his good? Can he swap it around? And then can he turn it around? And can he see my life go forward out of this? If we haven't got that, what have we got? We might as well not believe in God. You might as well not get a hold of this Christian life. Just live under your own natural faith. I had this great debate with someone just recently about natural faith versus godly faith. They're going, you know, no, but don't talk about the godly faith. Just talk about man has natural faith. I said, faith has got to be in something. I said, do not compare natural man-made faith. I've got faith naturally that I can put one foot up here on this and lift it. That's natural faith. Well done. Fantastic. But that's completely different to someone putting their faith in God that he can do whatever it takes. I said, don't. I said, the two are just, one's insipid and the other one's miraculous. I said, they might actually have the same name, but they are completely different. Man faith versus God faith. We got to live our lives in a way that we, that's why Paul talks about taking up the shield. He says, you've got to do this above all people. This is the first line of defense. The enemy is going to come against you. Because he talks about fiery darts and he says, if your faith is there, when the enemy fires them at you, it's going to deflect off to the side. Yeah. And what are they? What are the fiery darts? Worry, anxiety, fear are probably the biggest three fiery darts, and they get fired at you every single day. If you wake up every morning and you're worried about your finances, you're worried about so many things, there is so much to worry about, it could consume your world. You've got to grab, pick up that shield and say, God, I know that you can turn the situation around for good. And God, I know you're in control. Don't understand it. I cannot understand it. It feels chaotic right now, God. But ultimately, I know you're in control. Amen? It's something powerful for our lives. Matthew 14:28-31. I love this story. And Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Let me just get this going. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Shield is our first line of defense. Faith is our first line of defense. Doubt, if doubt gets through, it'll get through into any area of your life. And the only way to come against doubt is to lift that shield of faith and understand what it's there for and use it. Amen? So faith has to be held and raised. I know, faith is not something I just, as a Christian, wake up and have. It's just not. If I've got some area of my finance, I've got to go find my shield of finance, faith revelation. Are you with me? You go and search the Word of God and you think up everything of God's Word and provision. And you just, you know, you can go to your Bible app. I do this all the time. And you can type in your topic and it gives you all the verses on that topic. It's done for you. You can put in provision and it'll give you a Bible reading plan for 10 days. I've found this out quite a while ago on the Bible app. It'll give you a Bible reading plan for 10 or 15 days just reading about God's provision. Are you with me? To me, that's just learning how to grab your shield and hold it up. Are you with me? It's learning about faith in God and getting that in your word, getting a revelation. If it's about healing, go to your Bible app, type in the word healing, and it'll give you 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 6 months on learning about healing from the word of God. Faith has to be raised. It's got to be held. So what's the last thing we can relate to the shield of faith? The Roman military had something very powerful that they did with their shields. Let me show you. It's called studio. To studio. They'd yell this out, and the Romans would just form into this formation. Looks pretty formidable, doesn't it? The big shields would form, and the other shields would come on the top, and they'd even have them around the side. The soldiers would, they'd yell out, Julio! And all the soldiers would just form into these groups and flock in. And then they'd start marching forward like this. And the enemy, literally this formation was one of the reasons that the Romans just obliterated armies. And then someone would poke out and stab a spear like this, and the shoom, thing would lock up. And then those back ones would pull open, and archers would go, whoo. It was like a modern-day tank. It's literally what it was. And the other guys couldn't get it together. They tried, the barbarians and all that, they tried to work it out, but they couldn't do it. But you know what? I think Paul was looking at this, and you know what this is? This is our collective faith. This is doing life together. You come to a church, Bay City. There we are. You're somewhere in there. There's your sword. What God is saying is we need to get our faith together and we can march forward and we can take on anything. If you're dealing with finance or sickness or some area of your life, you need the church to lock in. So we put you in the center and we go, okay, we're going to march with you on this one. Your healing is going to be our healing. Ching, ching. Amen. Your provision is going to be our provision. And we keep moving forward. We don't want you to be some random lone ranger out there on a horse. No shield. Some sort of maverick. It's just the name. The concept is different. He's a good man. Some sort of guy out there. Oh, I can do this alone. You need to lock in. Lock in with the whether it's the youth group or the church or your kids are locked in. They lock in. We march forward in faith, believing that God is going to do incredible things. Hey, Pastor, we've got a health situation. All right, we're going to pray. We're going to get a prayer meeting. Pray. We're going to pray prayer requests. We're going to pray here at church. We're going to get our guys that know how to get a hold of God. We're going to believe for a turnaround. Amen. So I don't do that now. I want to pray for people right now because there is collective faith in this room. We need to do a little bit of marching just for a moment or two. Is that all right? Janine's already done the altar call, so it's all good. So why don't we stand to our feet? Studio!